Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
30. Tan vikshya vata rashanam chaturak kumaran. Vidhan dashorta vayaso viditatma tatvan. Vitrina chaskalayatam atad arhanans tau. Tejo vihasya bhagavat pratikula shilao. Tan vikshya vata rashanam chaturat kumaran. Vidhan shorda vayaso viditatma tatvan. Vitrina chaskalayatam atadhar hanam stau. Tejo vihasya bhagavat pratikula shilao. Tan them. Vikshya, after seeing. Vata vashanan. Yeah, vashanan. Naked. Chaturaha. Four. Kumaran. Boys. Vidhan. Aged. Dasha-artha. Five years. Vayasaha. Appearing as of the age. Vidita. Had realized. Atma tatvan. The truth of the self. Vitrina. With their staffs. Also. Oskalayatam forbade Atat Arhanan not deserving such from them. Tao, those two porters. Tejaha, glories. Vihasya, disregarding the etiquette. Bharavat Pratikula Shilao, having a nature displeasing to the Lord. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The four boy sages, who had nothing to cover their bodies but the atmosphere, looked only 5 years old, even though they were the oldest of all living creatures, and had realized the truth of the self. But when the porters, who happened to possess a disposition quite unpalatable to the Lord, saw the sages, they blocked their way with their staffs, despising their glories, although the sages did not deserve such treatment at their hands. Purport. The four sages were the firstborn sons of Brahma. Therefore, all other living entities, including Lord Shiva, are born later and are therefore younger than the four Kumaras. Although they look like 5-year-old boys and travel naked, The Kumaras were older than all other living creatures, and had realized the truth of the self. Such saints were not to be forbidden to enter the kingdom of Vaikuntha, but by chance the doorman objected to their entrance. This was not fitting. The Lord is always anxious to serve sages like the Kumaras, but in spite of knowing this fact, the doorman astonishingly and outrageously prohibited them from entering. Because of rasapasa, because of improper, inappropriate feelings, the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha have they're in this predicament that now they're committing offense, and they have to be cursed in the action. But the fault that makes it impossible for them to continue living in Vaikuntha is the Bhagavat Pratikula Shila. Their hearts have gone sour. They're no longer in tune with the rasa. Rasas are composed of bhavas. The bhavas have to be put together compatibly. Incompatible feelings, like wanting to be part of the lila, at the same time not being cooperative, you know, being rebellious. This is not acceptable. It can't be allowed in Vaikuntha. Living entities are not destroyed as punishment, but they're exiled. They're sent out of the spiritual world to a place where rasa-bhasa is the way of life, where material world, where feelings are perverted, love is expressed in perverted ways. So that, for that, the material, for the expression of perverted love, the material world exists. But if you want to stay in Vaikuntha, you have to understand, not just understand, you have to have an honest, surrendered attitude of dependence on and subservience to the Supreme Absolute Truth. You can consider yourself just a servant. If you become rebellious and try to be the master, then that disrupts the balance of rasas, of bhavas, of feelings. Then you develop inappropriate feelings. You try to make yourself the center when you're really just a part meant to serve the center. You try to make yourself the center. That disrupts the exchange of loving feelings. That is the real basis of life in the spiritual world. We have replicas of that, perverted replicas of it in the material world. We have associations and so-called loving relationships, husband and wife, disciples with their guru. You know, so it's understood that teacher, you know, in a traditional culture, it's understood that the students are supposed to be respectful of the guru. Although they may actually harbor in their heart the tendencies of guru droha and guru boga. They may, you know, because they're not pure disciples, or they may even be hypocrites posing as disciples, or something in between. They actually don't honestly have the love and honor and reverence that they show. They're making a false show, and they have material motives instead. They want to, usually it's mixed, you know, guru boga, you want to use the guru for your purposes. He's powerful, and by basking in his glory, you also become respected, and you can pretend to be powerful. You know, by being, you know, hanging on to a powerful person, you can also get the opportunity to manipulate and abuse other people on the strength of the powerful person that you're hanging on to. So that's guru boga. Or, you know, in a more simple fashion, you just want to get facilities, money, comforts. You can get them by hanging on to the person who can dispense with God, by the blessings of God, who got the power to give that to you. So these are guru boga, droha, envy of the guru, and trying to take advantage of the guru for your own selfish purposes, these pollute the pure mood of disciples' devotion. But that's what we find in the material world, polluted, perverted relationships. In the spiritual world, everything's pure. So, in preaching to the conditioned souls, we in effect take the role of guru. When we're giving instruction to someone, we're functioning as guru. So we have to be tolerant. You're dealing with conditioned souls, and you can't expect them to give you pure love. Just you speak the truth, open your mouth, speak the truth, and everyone should bow down and immediately surrender with their hearts and souls. You cannot expect that in the material world. We have to struggle to make a little progress in converting the conditioned souls back to pure devotees. It's a struggle, even when someone becomes your disciple and is worshipping you and is giving all his energy to serving you. Still, it's a struggle to actually get him to make progress. There's the material world. Somehow, Jaya and Vijaya have contracted the disease of envy. For their own fault, or just by the arrangement of the Lord to facilitate his pastimes, this envy has infected them. And they're going to helplessly offend people who don't deserve it, atad arhanams. They don't deserve to be treated like this, the four Kumaras, for various reasons, because they're just children. And, although they're not, they're vrittas. But that's even more a reason. They're venerable sages who know the absolute truth, who should not be obstructed in their desire to go here or there by anybody, even the official gatekeepers, the customs agents and so on, should not stop a pure person. It's offensive. It's automatically offense to have even thought of stopping the four Kumaras from entering. And then when they become angry, then that's too much. For that, they have to be cursed.
Hare Krishna.
Four Kumaras are the first born sons of Brahma. They were born from what? From his heart? Four Kumaras? Anyway, they were the first. But they're liberated souls in birth, in the sense that they had no interest in material life. But that frustrated the agenda of their father, who had it as his service to create and populate the material world. They were unwilling to cooperate with this agenda. Normally, a son should always be willing to carry out the desire of the father. But when that contradicts higher spiritual purposes, the ordinary rule can be put aside. The Kumaras are excused for refusing the order of Brahma to get married and have children. In fact, Prabhupada says in the purport, he makes a generalization, that this is in the purport earlier in the third canto, that this is the one order of the spiritual master that can be refused by a disciple when he asks you to get married. You can politely say, no, I'd rather not. So they're not at fault for that. It created some difficulty for Brahma, but he got over it. After Lord Shiva came from his forehead, and although he was willing and was capable of creating progeny, that progeny was not useful for creating the world. They were just destructive. Then he got his other sons. So he accomplished his agenda with a little difficulty. The Kumaras didn't help with that, but they had a higher purpose. One thing is to create, another thing is to do the work of the mode of goodness. Some servants are useful for creating because they're passionate. Other servants are in the mode of, more in the mode of goodness, so they can establish dharma by teaching. Dharma is established by the passionate kshatriyas, the rulers and creators, in their way, in their passionate way, by fighting, by conquering, by begetting. These are the rajasic ways of establishing dharma. But the more sattvic sages and brahmanas, by studying, by teaching, by meditating, by worshipping, they're doing even more useful service for the purpose of establishing and maintaining dharma, the order of the universe. The brahmanas are just as important, so that the kumaras insisted on remaining in a brahminical role and not becoming prajapatis. They're not to blame for that. One can, if one is serious about being a sage, then no one can oblige him to come down to a lower level. Okay, so I'll stop there. It's a little uncomfortable sitting in the sun, I'm sorry. Yeah, Durmanipu is in the sun rays are coming in his life. Okay, any questions or comments?
Yes.
The seventh gate.
Yes, the innermost.
The innermost. Does that mean that, you know, in between each previous gate that there's residence of Vaikuntha living, or it's just a bunch of gates and then the city starts?
No, there are different neighborhoods of Vaikuntha, and there are residents performing different kinds of service. The devotees who live in the inner courtyard and in the palace itself, what in the temple would be the altar, they do the most personal, intimate services. But there are all sorts of other services at relative distances from the physical presence of the Lord. Devotees also go outside of Vaikuntha on missions to preach and to fight with demons or do various things outside of Vaikuntha. So they're sent outside some too. So they're in the outer concentric regions of Vaikuntha, there are also devotees doing various kinds of service, yes, and who live there.
Okay. So that's
Gopakumar saw all this. Gopakumar saw that, you know, coming from the outside, he saw even in the gateway, even devotees coming from outside, engaged in all sorts of different services.
The seventh gateway is like the gate to the palace?
No, the whole Vaikuntha is arranged like that. And then it's a basic structure. You know, each separate region will also be arranged in seven layers. And the palace itself, the individual building, will also. And the replica of that on the earth, the temple of Vishnu, also has seven walls, you know, a full-fledged, the Sri Vaishnav temples,
yeah,
are usually constructed in that pattern.
But like it's only after you pass through the seventh that you get to the palace.
The Lord is inside the garba, you know, the inner sanctum that's inside the seventh gate. Of course, he can come out. It's his domain.
Yeah.
He came out to see the kumaras. That's the yoga peat. That's where his throne is. Not that king has to sit on the throne all the time,
yes,
but that's his. You know, that's his. The inner chambers.
It's like people leave between the gates, not like normal
land,
right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Just like in the temples, there's all sorts of activities. There's all sorts of secondary shrines in the areas between the different walls. Yeah. Marketplaces and libraries and offices and shrines of secondary deities are all over the place.
And pizza stalls.
Which ones?
Pizza stalls,
yeah.
Yeah.
Up to the sixth gate, don't we?
It's the Mayapur gates.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Vaikuntha architecture, or Vaikuntha town planning, basic stuff.
So they just copied from Vaikuntha, right?
Who did?
Southern
North. Yeah, Sri Vaishnavas are in the Vaikuntha mood, and they yes, they're copying the spiritual culture of Vaikuntha in their temples. Okay. Anything else?
Well, on your question?
Sorry, my question is how many
fish are there? How many what? Seven. There's one on each. There's on each side, though. So times four, 28. Because there's gates on each side. Okay. Seven times four is 28. And there's that many. Therefore, there's 56 gatekeepers. Okay. Two for each gate. With clubs in their hands. They were polluted by envy. They committed an offense against Lakshmi.
But they had so many other
in the. Well, they were in a bad mood that day.
Why?
Because they had just committed an apparat against Lakshmi, and that made them feel bad.
Why did they
didn't let her in also.
Why?
A couple of days before that, and then she didn't get mad at them, but that was an offense, and therefore their hearts became disturbed, and they were sitting there. Gritting their teeth, looking for trouble. Okay? Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.